you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. Very happy today to be speaking with April Mastroluca. How are you, April?
I'm good, Mickey. Thanks for having me.
That's excellent. Yes, April, you are the Chief Solution Finder for Synergy Nonprofit Consulting. Did I get that right?
Yes, that is correct.
How long have you been working in the nonprofit sector?
I've worked in the nonprofit sector for about 20 years.
Okay, that's a good long time. That's a good bit of time. What draws you to your work in the nonprofit sector? Did you, most people I know don't say, I won't put words in your mouth. How did you get started in the nonprofit sector?
Well, I didn't do it for the money, if that's where you're going. I've always had a passion for helping people. I had worked in television news. I had volunteered a lot, had been involved with the PTA and Junior League. And when I was working in television news, I had the opportunity to really have an impact and help people. And it kind of reminded me that, you know, that's really what I wanted to do. So when I had an opportunity to go into a program position with a local nonprofit, I took the opportunity, and I haven't worked in anything but nonprofit since.
Wow, that's cool. Excellent. So today we're going to talk about something that I really want to, I mean, looking forward to this conversation for a while. We're talking about advocacy and should nonprofits advocate, and what are the limits of their ability to advocate? I think a lot of nonprofits shy away from any advocacy stance because they think a 501c3 automatically means they're not allowed to. But that's not true, is it?
It's not. And a lot of groups think that. A lot of board members believe that. But nonprofits can advocate. It is allowed as a nonprofit 501c3. There are limits to what you can do and what you can't do. But it's definitely something that nonprofits benefit from by taking advantage of this opportunity.
Okay. So let's start from the big picture. Why should nonprofits be involved in advocacy work?
Really, it comes down to they have the story to tell. They know the constituents that they serve, and they can bring those stories to elected officials who can actually make a difference, with the information that they have. Elected officials don't often have the opportunity to spend as much time with their constituents as they would like, or with the variety of constituents that they are representing. And so a nonprofit can come forward and say, I represent this group of people, however large or small, and these are the issues that they're facing, and these are solutions that we think could help them. We need your help in making that happen. Or here's a barrier that's being caused by something that already exists. How can we move this barrier so that these people can get the help that they need?
And nonprofits are the entities that are on the front lines. Mm-hmm. And you're right, they're able to tell those. Excuse me, they're able to tell those stories much more effectively because they're there. They have their hands on the problem.
But absolutely.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second here. I'm a nonprofit. I've been doing it for a while. I think I'm pretty good at my work. Hang on one second. So I've been doing this for a while. I'm pretty good at my work. It costs me money to go tell my story to a politician or, obviously we're talking about advocacy, right? So I'm assuming it means representing myself to the political circle somehow. And it takes an effort to do that, both in time and resources to go do that story. So how do I do that if I'm a small to medium-sized nonprofit that may not have the time or the energy to go make those things happen?
It definitely is a challenge. And I've run small to medium nonprofits. I've worked in small to medium nonprofits. And I recognize that it can be a challenge. There are lots of opportunities to do this, though. If you're looking from a state and local standpoint, especially as it comes around to election time, politicians are easy to find. And, you know, they definitely want to hear from people, and kind of putting that bug in the ear and then continuing that conversation via email or a phone call doesn't take a ton of your time. What takes the time is researching the information up front and knowing what you're asking for. It doesn't do anybody any good to go in and say, this is a problem, and then not offer a solution, not offer, you know, another possibility. So doing the research, seeing what's happening in other states, speaking to people in other parts of the country that are doing the same work that you're doing. Hey, how are you dealing with this? Oh, your state passed a law that made it easier. Can you send me that information, or go onto that state's website and look up that information? And then you can share that with an elected official and say, hey, in Connecticut, they do it this way. Can we look at doing something like this? It does take a little bit of time, but also a lot of nonprofits have advocacy committees, and you find volunteers that really get excited about advocacy and have experience in it. And it's definitely a way that you can move that message forward. If you're looking at doing it from a federal level, it's very simple to schedule a call. You don't have to go to Washington, D.C. You can schedule a call with someone that works in the elected official's office. Sometimes they're the better person to talk to because they specialize in issues. You'll have someone who's the legislative expert in health or the legislative expert in transportation.
Right.
And talking to those people, they have the ear of the elected official. And all of your federal officials come home a couple of times a year, yeah, and you can meet with them in their office when they're in town. You just have to schedule that in advance.
Yep. I love it. And I think that's great. I think you're right. Every nonprofit should be doing this. So I have a couple questions I want to make sure I get to ask. First of all, I think the point of have a solution in mind, I think that's fantastic. I think, you know, obviously just don't go in to tell your story and then take off. What potential solutions are we talking about? Are we talking about the moving of funds? Are we talking about programmatic solutions that the government can do? Do governments work in conjunction with nonprofits outside of granting to make solutions easier to be had? What are some of the things that you see?
Well, I've seen everything, and I guess I had buried the lead on this one. I actually am also a former elected official. I was a state assemblyman for 2 terms. So I have seen this from both sides of the table. But one of the things that's helpful is looking at whether it's no cost or low cost. Sometimes it's just a simple change to say, hey, you don't allow for people to be allowed, you know, you don't allow for people to do X when they are applying for this service. If we can remove that barrier, whether it's a form or, you know, a requirement of something that it's very difficult for people to find, that could make it easier. There may be a short-term cost for the state to maybe print a form in a different language or to print a form in a different format or to put the form online, but it's not a huge cost. Sometimes it is looking for grant funds. Sometimes it is, hey, we have this population that could really be served if we can provide them with X. We have experience in providing them with X. We just need the funds to do so. And we know that funds are coming down from the federal level that can help with this. You know, can we have a conversation about how to earmark some of those funds for a grant that groups like mine can apply for to get help to these people?
Understood. And I love it. You know, come in with a practical look at what those solutions look like. As an elected official, what are the more innovative things you've seen cross your desk? And among those innovations, is it possible for nonprofits to join together to make those requests?
Absolutely. I live in Nevada. In Nevada, a few years ago, there was an initiative petition that came about with a combination of business and nonprofit coming together. There was, it was written in the law that durable medical equipment, which is power wheelchairs, infant apnea monitors, things like that, were still subject to sales tax. And so your insurance would pay for a $14,000 wheelchair, but you were still responsible for the $1,200 in sales tax. So we were able to work together to get a initiative petition on the ballot that informed the voters to say, hey, you know, this should be just like prescription drugs and you shouldn't have to pay taxes on it. Right. And we're able to get that passed.
Right. That's very cool. I know that with these extemporaneous conversations that we kind of run through the mud in several different directions as far as addressing the topic is concerned. I want to go back to the issue of time. You mentioned an advocacy committee. Are committee members typically board members?
Sometimes they're board members. Sometimes they occasionally you can find a lobbyist that's willing to serve on an advocacy committee or help educate an advocacy committee. I always caution nonprofits that they say, well, we'll just hire a lobbyist. Well, there's a couple of things to take into consideration. One, I said earlier that yes, you can advocate. The IRS does have limits on how much you can spend, how much of your budget can be spent. There is a form that you can fill out on IRS.gov that it's a 501H, I believe, that will allow you to put in how much you make and it will tell you how much you can spend on advocacy. So you have to be careful that you're not overspending on advocacy because it's supposed to be a minimal amount, but the IRS never defined minimal.
Interesting.
So that goes back to the times of Rockefeller is when that law was actually created. So then, you know, also a lobbyist has clients that pay them a lot of money to be at the legislature and they're tracking a lot of bills. And if you find a pro bono lobbyist that's willing to track a bill, if you say, hey, we have a bill going through the Senate, it's Senate Bill 173. Can you just keep an eye on it? Let us know when it's coming up for a hearing so we know that we need to come up and testify. That's usually doable. If you say, hey, can you tell me what's going on in the world of education? No, they don't have time. They're tracking too many bills for too many paying clients, and it's such a broad space. Especially if you're doing something, say, in juvenile justice, judiciary is, at least in Nevada, was one of the largest committees. We had the most bills going through the judiciary of any committee. And it's impossible to be able to, say, track this broad spectrum of bills. But if you can be very specific, sometimes you can get help that way. Most states now have very simple tracking systems available on their websites that you can sign up for and get either for free or pay a minimal amount to follow a bill and be notified when it's going to be up for a hearing, when it's moving from one house to the other.
And I think that's an important point that you make. It helps to know exactly what legislation is moving and when. Like you say, you can't just go in and say, let me tell you about my homelessness problem. That will get you nowhere. But if I am talking about House Bill 372, then that's way more relevant to legislators and that's a much more effective message to be delivering. You also said you don't have to hire a lobbyist. I think that was kind of interesting. Do you think that's a general misconception amongst nonprofits?
It is. I think that they think, well, it's really expensive and we can't do that, or we're a larger nonprofit and yeah, we'll just hire somebody. Yes and no. You know, especially if you don't work in that realm, you don't really know who's a good lobbyist or who is familiar with your area. Some lobbyists specialize in certain parts of legislature, whether it's judiciary or health. Some people are very general and they can cover everything. Some people are extremely expensive and some people are less expensive and less experienced. So right. you'd really have to do a lot of research to know who to hire. But if you're just following one or two bills, you really don't need to spend the money.
So money itself is not necessarily the issue. I'm sorry, let me take that back. The time a nonprofit spends on advocacy is not really the issue for nonprofits, but it's the money that they spend on advocacy that the IRS is keeping an eye on. And that's loosely defined within something called 501H or whatever it's called. And that's what nonprofits should be looking at to figure out where those thresholds are. Did I get it right?
Yes. And the thresholds are quite high. So you would really have to go out of your way to do that. But some of the other things that nonprofits should remember about advocacy, the IRS allows you can advocate for and against an issue. Mm-hmm. So you can say, you know, you can tell the people that you serve, hey, we're in support of issue ABC. contact your legislators and tell them to vote for ABC, or we're against AB, you know, DEF, contact them. You can contact legislators' offices and say the same thing. What you cannot do is you cannot advocate for or against a candidate as a nonprofit. You can't post on social media and say, hey, so-and-so is running for county commission. They've been a great help. You should vote for them. And if you do it as a person, as an individual person, you need to make sure that you're separating yourself, your position from your organization, your title, and not use anything within your time, within your title, or within your organization to do that.
April, that last sentence got lost. As an organization, okay. you need to separate yourself how again? Could you start from scratch on that sentence?
Sure. So as an organization, you need to separate yourself from your title and your organization. Mm. You cannot represent your organization in any way if you are out supporting a candidate, whether you're knocking doors, calling people, or just posting on social media. You can't do it from your organization's account, and you can't use any of your organization's items or materials. You can't print from your organization. You can't send emails from your organization. It needs to be a very clear line.
So that's related to advocating for a person, but not an issue. As if I'm advocating advocating for or against an issue, I'm allowed to do yes. it as an organization.
Absolutely.
Got it. Excellent stuff. You spent 2 years in legislature, in state legislature?
I did.
What was the experience like overall?
It was amazing. I loved being a legislator. I loved working on policy and writing policy. I learned an incredible amount, and it was a great experience that I wouldn't trade for anything. That being said, especially in today's environment, I get asked a lot, you know, would you do it again? No.
All right. Now, you know, I have to ask, why won't you want to do it again?
The political landscape has become very volatile, and it's just not something that I am willing to subject myself to. I have a lot of admiration for people who are willing to run. You know, every state is different. Nevada is extremely unique. Legislative sessions are only every other year. We're one of only 4 states in the country that do that. And our legislators only get paid about $8,000 for the entire 2-year term. It's not a full-time legislature. It's not a job. We don't have staff outside of the legislative session. And it's, you know, you leave your family for 4 months. You, in many cases, leave your job for 4 months and wow. hope that you have a job when you come back. And, you know, you do the best you can to try and make a difference for the state. And you're never going to make everybody happy. But hopefully you've made a long-term impact. And, you know, I think I believe that the work I did was able to accomplish that. And I'm proud of the work that I did. Uh-huh. And if I could just write policy all day long, I would be happy.
I'm reminded of a quote from one of my favorite authors. He's like, anybody who really wants the job should probably be the last person to have the job. And I think that's true. And my friends are like, Mickey, you should run. You'd be great at it. I'm like, no, I'm not that crazy. I'm a little crazy, but I'm not that crazy. But April, this is fascinating stuff. So the message overall is for nonprofits to absolutely be advocates for their cause, be vocal about the work that they're doing, take it to whoever they can take it to, including legislators. Just be careful on the amount of money they spend on that effort and make sure they track everything thoroughly. Did I forget anything? Is that a good summary?
I think that's a great summary. The only other thing that I would add is, even if you're not specifically asking for something, be sure to take the time to share that message with legislators and elected officials, because sometimes they may come across something that could benefit you. And if they know, or if they have a constituent that comes to them with an issue that you can help them with, you'll be the first one on the top of the Rolodex.
Awesome. That's fantastic. April, if a listener had any questions, wanted to learn more about you and your practice, how would you suggest they find you?
You can go to my website. It's synergynpc.com. Or April@synergynpc.com.
Synergynpc.com. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you very much, April. Thank you for taking the time on this Saturday to be my guest on the Snapcast. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. It was great talking to you, and thanks for your questions.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.